fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. J.R. Moore here on Wednesday, the 8th day of February. The prep tip of the day is to learn to identify, harvest, and make use of wild edibles and herbs. It could be a matter of life and death. If you're going to get a book, make sure the book has full-color plates. Do not get books with black and white photographs or drawings. And it might be good to take a class. You may find in your local area an instructor who gives classes in wild edibles and herbs. We have patient Wayne Agreement, my friend Jeff Nyquist. Jeff began a quest, I think we're now at 37 years, 37 years ago, to understand, comprehend, eventually become quite expert in anything and everything to do with the International Commerce Conspiracy. Jeff is the author of 6 books regarding this topic, for sale at Amazon.com. And he has a great website where there's a new article posted pretty much every week. That website is jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, John.
Good to have you with us, sir, as always. I didn't watch the president give the speech last night. Did you happen to watch it yourself?
No, I didn't. I know kind of what he says.
Right.
But they didn't. He didn't announce anything earth-shattering, is my understanding.
Right.
Half of what he says, he doesn't mean, so.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And then I haven't, but Sarah Huckabee, the new governor of Arkansas, did an excellent rebuttal. I intend to watch her rebuttal sometime before the day's over. Everything I've read is that she did an excellent job with that. Well, Jeff, I know you have your private sources regarding what's going on with China, private sources what's going on with Ukraine. Let's start with Ukraine. Apparently, there's some a high-level Israeli official says he was part of and firsthand knowledge of Ukraine and Russia attempting to arrange a ceasefire not long after the war began, and that the United States and NATO allies put the kibosh on that. Are you aware of that, sir?
Yeah, I saw the news item. It was a former Israeli I believe it was the former Israeli prime minister, wasn't it?
I believe so.
Netanyahu was not in power, and he said that there was an attempt. The Israelis were being used as intermediaries at that early on in the war, and I knew one of the negotiators they picked. He went to Israel, and they were going to meet with some Russians. I don't know if it was a preliminary meeting, but he said the Russians didn't show up. And so I don't know what the back room, you know, I mean, it's for him, for the an Israeli statesman to be saying that the NATO put the kibosh on it, that could mean a number of things. It's, when you make a statement like that, it's an interpretation, because we don't know the exact details of who said what and how the negotiation didn't happen. It's very probable the Russians were demanding something that was not acceptable to the Ukrainians, and the Europeans wanted to broker it with the Israelis. And it, my understanding was that a European country, I don't want to name, approached this person I know and asked him to be an intermediary because he knew Putin. So, you know, there's all these, the devil, the real stories in the details. There weren't very many details there. So I know a lot of people glommed onto it to put some kind of blame on NATO. But this was in the midst of an invasion. And the Russians have not slackened their, saying that they won't take the whole country. I mean, they've made that by annexing the four oblasts, they've made impressions like that. But it's a naked act of aggression on the part of Russia. And the Ukrainians, look, most of these NATO countries, most of the leaders in them thought that Ukraine was going to fall within days, if not weeks. And, of course, they would want to try to salvage something at the end of the war if they thought the war was ending. If they realized that Russia was being defeated, they might also say there's no point in negotiating on the basis on which we agreed, you know, we were trying to set this up. So there's all kinds of mitigating conditions and circumstances. And until we have an actual detailed account from more than one party, we won't know really what it means.
Now, an oblast is the equivalent of an American state or an American county.
It's more like a European province.
A province. Okay. So it'd be roughly this a state equivalent.
I guess you could say it's a subunit of the country.
Right. Well, I'm trying to get these, terms.
Crimea is an oblast. Luhansk and Donetsk are oblasts, right?
Right.
Kherson is an oblast. Those are the oblasts that the Russians have claimed as part of Russia now.
Well, in general terms, roughly the equivalent of an American state.
Not really, because they don't have sovereignty. Never had sovereignty. An American state is a kind of a special formation.
Well, that's true, too. I'm thinking more about the size than I guess.
Size. American states, you go from Rhode Island to California.
Right.
So
right.
With oblasts, the size is more or less uniform generally, unless it's over a territory that's like in a desert area or something.
Right, gotcha. Well, I don't want to dwell on that too much. We do have open lines. If you got a question or comment for Jeff Nyquist, just give us a call at 512-248-8252. So is the ground frozen in Ukraine, or is it not, sir?
Well, I heard it was supposed to be frozen this week.
Okay.
All right. I didn't check the temperatures today.
Okay. Well, it has to be frozen long enough to be deep enough to support these incredibly heavy armored vehicles.
It doesn't seem that the Russian, the pressure on Bakhmut is increased. The Russians have taken some villages around there, threatening to flank it. There's some discussion that the Ukrainians will pull their forces back and give up the ground in order to preserve their troops. This is what is being discussed now. The fighting remains at a kind of a level that it's been at here as fall began and winter took over. So the battle has been centered around Bakhmut. This is the town that is really in question of who's going to own it. The Russians have managed to get their artillery forward enough that they've been able to use more artillery attacks. So it's kind of a siege battle. The Russians have been throwing a lot of men. They'll throw men at the positions and they'll watch to see where the Ukrainian fire comes from, and then they'll direct their artillery on that. And that's how the battle's been described to me.
It's been said, Jeff, that Russians love artillery and have for more than a century. Is that an accurate statement?
Well, in the Soviet and Russian armed forces, the artillery arm is stronger than in Western armed forces. They have more howitzers per unit. They have more big guns per division than we do. Of course, they do not rely. It's important to understand the reason for it is that they have never had fully the kind of air power we have. They have not had good ground support aircraft units. You know, like the Germans in World War II, they developed the Stuka as a dive bomber with close air support of the troops. The Russians have never perfected the art of close air support. So their air force, now this is a generalization, it's not always true. They have some capability there, but they don't have it to the extent we do, and they don't rely on it. So in their strategy, their air forces are basically about denying the airspace to the enemy and about more limited use of strikes than we would use. You know, like in our invasion of Iraq in 2003, air power was, you know, in lieu of what do we need artillery when we have these tremendous strike aircraft that can take out positions at even greater range and with greater rapidity. And we've just got excellent, you know, support to the ground units from the air. We have this tradition. They don't quite have that same tradition.
Well, it's fascinating how these traditions and tactics and equipment carry forward through the decades, isn't it?
Well, it is, because you see, they would, why would you, if you were the Soviet Union, for example, when you knew that NATO was always ahead of you and superior to you in fighter aircraft, that you would know that in the first, you know, 14 days of a war, most of your planes would be shot down. Like we saw in the Arab-Israeli wars, you know, when the Israelis were flying F-4 Phantoms, right, and the Egyptians and Syrians were flying MiGs, it would just be a matter of days before the Israelis shot down or forced the Arab air forces, you know, out of the skies. Because the pilots in the West are better trained and the aircraft are better. The technology is a little bit better. The doctrine's better. The training is better. And so rather than trying to get control of the air, and they can overwhelm you at first with numbers. That's part of what they attempted to do, like in the 73, where was it, 74, Yom Kippur War, right? That was 73, right? Am I remembering?
73, yeah.
73. The Yom Kippur War, the Egyptians actually gained control of the air briefly, right? They had some success in the air for the first time, but it didn't last. You know, it wasn't going to last. The Russians have a similar concept, and that they know they can't hold the sky. So why would they give a capability to an air force to be dominant in supporting the ground forces when they know it's not going to be there very long? So then they need a substitute for their air force. What's that substitute? It's their artillery, right? And not just guns, not just howitzer guns, but also rocket artillery. Right. So that you see, when you study the tables of organization of Russian mechanized divisions or corps and armies, you'll see that they have rocket artillery units, you know, short range, you know, maybe 90-kilometer range for doing bombardments at longer range. And this gives them the firepower flexibility, and the rockets hit very fast. So with Russia, going back to the 1950s when they were developing their rocketry, rocket, in fact, all the way up to strategic rockets, the rocket was the key to overcoming the fighter plane and the bomber, the Western bomber, because they could hit the bomber bases with rockets, with nukes. They could overwhelm the ground forces with rockets. And that's where nuclear, you know, all-arms nuclear war became the thing. So when you read Sidorenko's The Offensive, it's a book written in the 1970s about the integrating of the missile strikes with the ground forces. This is really where it was at. So when people look at the anomalies of what's happened in Ukraine, a lot of it has to do with doctrine that goes back to the early Cold War and the development of nuclear weapons and rockets. And, of course, in some sense, Russia has one hand tied behind its back attacking, because in a civil war, which is what they're claiming it is, they're claiming the Ukrainians are really Russians, and Putin has said again and again there's no such a country as Ukraine, that that in a civil war you can't use nuclear weapons. So this kind of warfare that their army has its doctrine surrounding can't be used in this kind of ground war. But they are using rockets with conventional warheads, large conventional warheads.
Well, Jeff, I've seen photographs of 19th century Russian artillery muzzle-loading cannons that they make our cannons of the same period of time look like toys. These things were massive, weren't they?
Well, the Russians, the biggest, I think the battle that had the most use of artillery in the 19th century was probably the Battle of Borodino, which the Russians call the Battle of Moscow, which was when Napoleon's army marched to Moscow and took Moscow in 1812. The Russians along the Kalachka River had created a series of redoubts, and the biggest one was called the Great Redoubt, and they loaded them up with artillery. Russia had basically massed its artillery. Napoleon had a huge army with lots of artillery, too. And they say in that battle, the artillery on both sides was just dominant. It was an extremely bloody battle. It was maybe, I think it may have been the bloodiest of Napoleon's battles.
Really?
It was a big battle, too. It was a lot of troops massed there at Borodino. And Napoleon won the battle, but just barely. He almost lost. But it was a lot of guns, a lot of larger guns. Of course, in the Napoleonic era, they didn't have guns to compare with what they developed. You know, by the time you get to World War One, the biggest artillery battle in World War One was Verdun, which in some respects, some of the battles being fought in Ukraine are similar to Verdun. Fackenheim was the German general. He said, "We're going to bleed the French white," right? And instead he was bled. So what they did is they had this massive bombardment. The Germans had massed a massive number of guns. I think it was in 1916 this battle happened. massive numbers of guns. And the French were in trenches, and the French had series of trenches they kept falling back to. And the Germans were frustrated, so they used poison gas, and they used, I think it was the first battle that flamethrowers were used in large amounts. So the Germans were using flamethrowers, poison gas, in addition to the bombardment. And the French had the famous 75 millimeter guns that were so versatile that helped stop the Germans. But a very famous battle. And most famously, the problems with artillery. They would bombard the French in these tremendous artillery barrages, and they would charge in thinking the French were dead. And the French, they were shell-shocked, and they were, you know, their ears were probably half-deaf. They came out, manned their machine guns, and mowed down the Germans as they were coming in. And similar things happened in World War One and other battles, but that was the one they put the most artillery on. And, of course, today with modern science, the Russians, of course, you have drones that can spot for artillery. The artillery is a lot more accurate. Of course, the Russians do use massed artillery barrages, and, of course, they have rolling barrages where they just bombard and it moves. The bombardment kind of moves over a piece of ground to wipe everything out in it. But generally, if you're dug in a trench, or if you're in a foxhole, or you're pretty well protected, and it can be pretty frustrating. You probably remember those Japanese islands that Admiral Spruance was our famous battleship admiral. He fought the Battle of Midway, ironically a carrier battle, but he was, they called it the Spruance haircut. We would send battleships and cruisers and stuff and destroyers, and we would bombard these islands so that all the trees would be knocked down. And it looked like a haircut, you know.
Amazing.
But the Japanese underneath the ground were fine.
We have a break. We got callers on hold. We'll be right back.
Einstein once said, Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available, and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To read more about this amazing breakthrough and to order your terahertz frequency wand, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed. But you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With a Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, down there on the forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, look away, Dixieland. Well, I wish I was in Dixie, hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land I'll take my stand, live and die in Dixie, away, 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 down south.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This hour is sponsored by EMP Shield. If you want the same equipment, the exact same equipment the Department of Defense uses for your car, your spouse's car, that car that youngster off to college, yes, you can get those at thelibertyman.com with a $50 discount on each piece of equipment. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist, his website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. His book for sale at Amazon. Jeff, before we get to our next caller, how can people subscribe to your website, please?
Well, there's a PayPal button beneath each video or article where they can contribute to keep the site going.
All right. Our next caller is John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello, Mr. Nyquist. I have a question concerning reparations for slavery. If reparations were paid for slavery, where actually would that money likely go? For what purposes?
I don't know the answer to that. I imagine to people who are descendants of slaves. I don't know. Do you know the answer?
I don't know if you had any information possibly about what's really what the true motive behind that is.
Well, all redistribution of wealth, which are schemes of the socialists, have a political purpose. And that political purpose is to win over voters, a constituency, to win over and solidify control over black voters so that they will vote for the party that's urging reparations. You know, it's like saying, these white people over here, they have white privilege. You are the descendants of slaves. You're at a disadvantage. We need to shift the wealth from them over to you. And it may have an additional benefit for the communists who are motivating the left to do this. I think what you'll find is that such propositions will come from people who have connections to communist front organizations. and that is to divide America. To be divisive, to cause resentment between. I mean, look, nobody alive, no white person alive, has held any slaves, and I don't think any white person alive now, they had a parent that held slaves. I think we're so far now advanced that we're talking about, and since most Americans, most all white Americans, were immigrants. Who are descended from people who came after the Civil War. All my ancestors, I think I have two great-great-grandparents that were here before the Civil War. One was a Union officer. You know, a lot of us, we don't have ancestors that lived in the South and held slaves. So, you know, it's so there's an inherent unfairness in penalizing people. It had nothing to do with it. And so as far as attempting this kind of thing, it's extremely damaging to an economy because people save their money and plan their lives and they plan for, you know, sending their kids to school and doing things. This suddenly undoes all that and says, okay, the government's saying you have to give up your money. You can't buy that nice house. These people over here are going to have it. And, of course, this is not a good idea. This is a way to get people really upset with each other. If you want to have violence, you start making people, you know, upset. And, of course, this propaganda saying that the white people owe the black people something because of things that happened a couple hundred years ago, you know, or 150 years ago. That's, you know, I mean, we've all had ancestors. You know, I'm Swedish-American. My Swedish ancestors were very much hurt by the Danes, who dominated Sweden and murdered a lot of Swedes. So what am I? I'm going to wait here, you know, several hundred years later for some reparation from the Danes? You know, the idea that there isn't history isn't full of injustices. And we're going to correct that retroactively now? Because maybe I would have had a better life if my great ancestors, you know, several hundred years ago. I mean, where does this stuff end? This is extremely destructive. So, but you get people convinced of this, that we need to do this, and you've got an issue that is very, very divisive.
So it's designed to do just that, is to divide the people against each other and get them fighting each other while you...
And it's economically, it's economically disruptive too, because it demoralizes people. Look, as hard as I work, I'm going to have it taken away and given to someone else. So why should I work hard? Right? So, and then on the other hand, you got people who are expecting to get something by other people being plundered, basically. And there's no real justice to it. It's like, are we going to now look at everybody's family tree and see if their ancestors owned slaves? Were they somehow benefited by the slave trade? How are we going to do genealogies on 300 million Americans?
Okay, John. John, thank you for your call. We have a break. We'll be right back with another call in.
The truth. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you. And your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
John Moore's private consultations are the most comprehensive services available any place, anywhere in the world. They're available now and provide valuable knowledge and information that protects an individual, family, or group. We provide clarity, focus, and information for you and your associates for any situation. We have just the right knowledge, just the right information from just the right professionals. Schedule your consultation for your family or group now. Contact us at thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Once again, thelibertyman.com.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas.
The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape.
Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Anna.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me, in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. Information, over 9 gigabytes of information. It's a really large website. The Navy map is there. I worked with 3 Navy veterans who were present at the classified briefing showing North America with new coastlines. I took their information and reconstructed the Navy map. I might be getting an updated version for that. That hasn't happened yet. If I do, I'll post it. But it's there. If you scroll down far enough, you'll see it. Plus, something that was fun for a number of years, we were locating maps on movies and TV shows of North America with different coastlines, starting with The Godfather. It was the first one we located. And there's more than 30 movies and TV shows done over the last 60-plus years showing North America with different coastlines. Plus, of course, Aproxit will help you if you have arthritis pain, which I know many of you do, joint pain, back pain. What are you waiting for? Seriously, what are you waiting for? I do something your healthcare professional is highly unlikely to do with the Energy Cleaner. I offer a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's for me to do personally. So check out the Energy Cleaner, the mattress pads that go with it. You already have an Energy Cleaner. We'll check out the Micro Plush Throws. It's a relatively new product. It plugs right into the Energy Cleaner. You can use it on your bed, your recliner, your sofa, your car seat, your work chair. Get the most benefit of your Energy Cleaner at thelibertyman.com. Toll-free our line is 800-592-9543. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, our next caller is Pat in Texas. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning. I just wondered if, Jeff, do you realize that the movie that shows Stalin starving the Ukrainians to death has been playing on TV? I'm not which, a TV watcher, movie? But I got told by somebody who said she knew about it. And I said, what do you think of that movie?
You're talking about the movie. Yeah, I think I saw it. It's about the British the British journalist who went himself in person and kind of he escaped off of a train. He hoodwinked the Soviet officials into taking him into Ukraine, and then he got off the train and he wandered through the countryside and saw what was happening and came back. He came back to the UK. Yeah, I forget the title of the movie. I saw it a few months ago. It's a very dramatic movie. And of course, what happened to him is he came back and he said, look, they're starving these people. And the British government told him to shut up. Everybody said, you're not going to talk about this. And the news media in the day, the newspapers, just refused to cover it or give him any credit. He was relentlessly mocked. So you have to realize how powerful Moscow's propaganda arm is. They're very good at getting us to think the way they want us to.
Well, that would explain why they don't want to quit. And I don't know if Zelensky has anything to do with it. I think once you have that in your history, like Poland has it in their history of the Nazis marching in on them, and they become staunch anti-Nazism. But
The Russians and the Soviets also invaded Poland in World War II. They split Poland.
I have spent half of the night looking at Holocaust. They got a museum going in Washington, and they have stories of a little kid, that one of the most famous one is she just was suffered so bad, and didn't even want to live. She wanted to go die with her parents, and she was mad at God for making her live until she got to Israel again, and she got rescued and taken to Israel and hid out, and now she has her own family. So, I mean, if people think the Holocaust didn't happen, they need to start looking around, because I think it did.
Yeah, well, there's lots of evidence and lots of testimony about it. And, people can haggle over certain details, but Hitler definitely decided he was going to kill as many Jewish hostages, I think is how he saw them, as he could. And of course, after he invaded Russia and after he realized the West wasn't going to make peace with him is when he started doing it in 1941. And so he started arranging for it in 1941. I think it started in 1942 after the Wannsee Conference. And there's even a movie about the Wannsee Conference where the actors actually speak the lines from the transcript from the meeting. And I urge everybody to see that movie and to see the attitude. Look, all you have to do is read Mein Kampf and read Hitler's speeches. And it's all, the anti-Semitism is so grisly that I had difficulty getting through parts of Mein Kampf because it was so brutal. The prejudice was so brutal. So, there's the same kind of attitude now we're seeing with the Ukrainians calling them Nazis. They have a Jewish president. They're not Nazis. Nazis wouldn't elect a Jewish president. It's absurd. But you have in the Wagner organization, as one of my readers pointed out, it's Wagner because there is this association with Wagner, who was a hero of Hitler's. This is one of the reasons it's called that. That's the big mercenary organization within the Russian army that has these Nazi associations to it. So it's so weird that everything's inverted, you know, and Russian propaganda is so effective and so many people here buy into it. And you think, well, why? It's because the Russian special services are just really good at getting into newspapers and recruiting people and pushing their message through, not through Russian advocates, but through advocates in America and other places. And that's right. What a lot of people are hearing and why they are thinking and saying the things they are.
Well, did the guy running the Wagner group just get shot in the head? He's probably going to die.
Yeah, I didn't follow that. So it could be, you know, there's a number of leaders there.
Yeah, okay. Well, I appreciate you talking about it because the more people say crazy things, the more everybody's going to start finding out the truth because you can't hide the truth with the internet like it is now. I don't think you can.
Well, you can bury the truth in lies. You can assert things that aren't true. You could create fake news. Here, you know?
People, when they came out and said, you know, CDC said, oh, no, the shot's not no good. But these people here, they said, well, I don't like Trump. And Trump got real mad because he said that it's under control. Well, he was telling everybody how to not worry about COVID. And these people said, well, I don't like Trump, and I can't wait till I get mine. I'm telling you, in my own neighborhood, I've heard that. So,
well, there's a new book. There's a book out by Edward Dodd called Cause Unknown, The Epidemic of Sudden Deaths, in which he documents this. And, of course, Ed Dowd famously worked for BlackRock and helped, he's known for using studying statistics to discover early trends. And he did that. He left BlackRock to study these deaths in the wake of the vaccines. And he definitely believes it's not cause unknown. It's the vaccine that's causing these deaths. And he focuses on young people and the deaths. But it's you can get the book through Amazon. And he gives you hundreds and hundreds of verified deaths of young people, both on the sports fields and also dying in their sleep after being vaccinated. It's really brings it home that something is happening and they're trying to cover it up. And this needs to, you know, there's statistics, damn statistics and lies, right? But he is really a really interesting analyst. And it's the book is it's a beautiful hardbound book, by the way. So I urge people to take a look at that.
As unknown. Okay. Well, I applaud John Moore for just not letting that subject drop because you know, it's like I said, if people can get around on the internet, they can learn stuff. But I know people my age and their daughters don't want them to have internet because they think it'll scare them. Oh, please. I mean, you know, anyway, I appreciate y'all both. Okay, John.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks for the call, Pat. We appreciate it. Our next caller is Tony in Florida. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning again. Mr. Nyquist, your article the politics of biological warfare and the inversion of blame is fascinating, sir, and it's, you've written so many good things. This is probably one of your best. To kind of segue Pat's call, you were talking about the biological warfare and its aftermath and how the West is being set up to receive all the blame, and this done through the communists. They have to, as you state in your article, to collapse our system. There's, I want to quote the article here because, again, this is, everyone needs to read this. This is fascinating. You have laid this out. Quote, it will be alleged that America has launched a genocidal attack on humanity and that capitalists, bankers, and corporate leaders are behind the attack. Those who have always been marked for liquidation by the Marxists will be blamed for all the vaccine deaths, just as conservative politicians are blamed for pandemic deaths. The people that will be shielded from blame are the communists in China and Russia. That, sir, is happening in real time. Again, on the Alex Jones show, they've been pushing Biden bioweapons. They're not even talking about the CCP. Could you please expand on this a little bit more for the listeners and how this is very important, this inversion of blame, and how it is set up to collapse our system, sir?
Yeah, when we made the mistake, and would love to know how this was got to happen, but when we made the mistake, when all this Chinese money went to a lot of our CDC and National Institutes of Health officials, according to some of these Pfizer documents, and we started to go the path of vaccines, you had this propaganda emerging about how the pandemic was caused by our medical establishment, our scientists. And then the vaccines, of course, any connection to making the vaccines in China is being prevented from people seeing it. The Pfizer documents, Naomi Wolf has been big on showing those. The Pfizer documents show that China was brought into this process of making the vaccines, which is crazy on its face. And you see a lot of corruption in the West. But what you've got is you've got a campaign coming from all these sources. Alex Jones is one of them, in which the focus of the blame is that there is somehow a Western campaign to exterminate most of humanity with the vaccines. And this theme has been repeated now for quite a while, ever since the vaccines were coming out, and even claims that, you know, the whole thing is part of a Western conspiracy as opposed to something that the Chinese might have done. As somebody who's kind of followed the way propaganda works, the way Chinese and Russian active measures, you can see the sources this is coming from. You can look at the background of some of these people, and you can say, wait a minute, these people have leftist background. They go back. They've been, like in the case of Alex Jones, have been pro-Russian in the past and have supported certain themes. Like, for example, Jones has said, you know, he's a 9/11 truther. 9/11 was an inside job. Always blaming, even though there's, and ignoring all the evidence, by the way, that there's some kind of Russian involvement behind 9/11. Always ignoring the other side being active and doing things. And so in this case, what's really important is Xiao Chen's speech, secret speech, in which he said, look, we have to kill 100 to 200 million Americans, and we have to avoid being nuked when we do it, which means we have to make sure we don't get blamed. Because if you do a biological attack that kills that many people, you know, the natural thing, the other side finds out and get nuked. So how do they do it to where they can lay the blame on us? Well, by corrupting our officials, by making them look, by framing the whole event as if our own people did it. And they were just in it for the money. This is what Sasha, you know, you've heard that the Sasha lady who gives this presentation of the Pfizer documents and said, look, the Chinese are just in it for the money. The Westerners are doing it. You know, the Americans are doing it to kill people. It's actually the other way around. The Chinese have received the directive to do biological war on the United States. And it's always a cui bono, right? That is, who benefits? That's the question you have to ask. How would an American official benefit from killing the American people? He would, his own taxpayers, he wouldn't have a job. He wouldn't have a place to go. He would be lynched by his own people when they found out. It's really stupid to kill your own people in a biological attack you organized yourself. But if the Chinese have organized it and organized it to blame you and they've set you up as the fall guy, that's brilliant. That's a brilliant attack. And there's a cui bono, because we know from Chinese defectors and Russian defectors, China wants to take over the North America. They want to take the lower 48 states and build a second China here. And that we've known that from sources from over there for some years now. And so this shouldn't come as a surprise to us, but it is, I think, to most people.
I agree with that because they don't know the enemy. They, as you said, they think the enemy is their neighbor or the banksters or these other people, when in fact they're just communists and Marxists. Could you also talk about this underlining, this giggle? I call it
Hold on, Tony. We'll wrap your comments after the break. We'll be right back and wrap this up.
Which will conclusively prove George Soros' role in orchestrating the plandemic. But first, dear patriots, the truth train has brought us a conspiracy in our own backyard. Now, you may think you know the story.
Now, it's like I always say, there's a whole lot of bullshit out there. So I'd like to give Soros, Pelosi, the Zionists, the Mexican, the snowflakes, and...
Stay strong, truth tellers. Stay strong.
And we'll rock till break of dawn. This feels like heaven. Just you and me. This feels like heaven.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste by going to rbnhemppaste.com. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tony, to wrap up your question real quick so Jeff can get a response in, sir.
It is. My last question is also in your article. You're talking about this sprinkling of genocide in this message of genocide. Could you also speak on that? And I'll take my response off to you. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay, thanks for the call. Go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, the message of genocide, I'm not sure what he's referring to. But you know, we have an interesting thing on the left with the Green Movement. And, of course, Gorbachev, when he left office, he started Green Cross International. And environmentalism is a movement that has been hijacked by the communists for many years. And, I've talked to people in the environmental movement who were shocked to find that it was really being led by communists who want to overthrow capitalism. And, of course, one of the themes they've developed over the last two decades is the idea that there needs to be only 500,000 people in the world. And they've got this to come out of the mouths of people who are on the left within the establishment pushing environmentalism. And so now they're claiming that, you know, they're making this quote-unquote plausible idea that they're actively trying to thin the herd by killing most people through the vaccinations to get down to this 500,000 number. And that is a tremendous cover to place the blame on Western leftists and liberals, setting them up, because in real terms, these people aren't really credible if you study them as genocidal maniacs. They're irresponsible in their thoughts and their ideas, and they're not too coherent. But more like useful idiots. But when you go to like the secret speech of Chiao Chen or some of the defector testimony about the genocidal ideas of Russia and China, Russia and China are countries with governments that have committed real genocide. You know, we talked about the Ukraine famine earlier. Mao Zedong in the Guinness Book of World Records was the number one mass killer. Communist Party of China killed, according to the Guinness Book of World Records, more than 60 million Chinese. That's an incredible record. And Stalin is credited with 30 million, killing 30 million of his own people. And those numbers, a lot of people believe, are much higher for Stalin. So when we talk about, you know, the Holocaust, Hitler killed 12 million Jews and non-Jews. So you see the dictatorships in China and Russia are just much more deadly. And what won't they do to extend their power, given this history? I think that's who we have to look for, the people who have the history of psychopathic political behavior and the people who have the means and the motive.
Jeff, well said. Thank you, sir. We'll have you back next week. We appreciate it. Okay, that's it for today. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning essential oils now while you can, your firearms, ammunition. Never, ever give up your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful state of Missouri. The lovely large state of Texas, the county I live in, County Missouri, big plus United States of America.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.